Surely, that's a song we need to sing often. This morning, I want to talk with you about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. In the introduction to the book of Galatians, we find something at the very beginning. There are some things that are missing. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 1, 8 through 15, to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 through chapter 1, verses 4 through 9, in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and Colossians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And when Paul was writing to the Thessalonian brethren, he would always talk about peace and grace, be merciful unto you from God. But in the book of Galatians, he doesn't do that. I think it shows how severe the problem was that he was addressing. I marvel, that is, I stand amazed. I am astonished. That's what Paul said. I'm astonished, I marvel that you're so quickly removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Another gospel? Brethren, being turned aside away from the truth of God to another gospel? And then he writes, and he says, which really is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Right there is something you want to look into very carefully. There are people that want to do what, Paul? There are people that want to pervert. What does that mean? What does it mean whenever you talk about these people who want to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ? The synonyms for the word pervert are as follows. Distort, corrupt, subvert, twist, bend, abuse, misapply, misuse, misrepresent, misinterpret, falsify. What is he saying? There are people that want to do some changing, twisting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul has a problem with this because he is the one that was preaching the true gospel of Christ. And then he adds in verse 8, though we, that was real interesting, to note that Paul says, I marvel, I stand amazed that there are some of you that are so quickly removed from the true gospel to another gospel, which is not another, but there are those that would pervert, change, distort the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now look what he says about himself. In verse 8 he says, but though we or an angel, what? Though we, that is me, if I do this, if I pervert the gospel of Christ, or if there's an angel that came down from heaven that did so, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Or, as Deuteronomy 27 says, let him find the curse of God upon him. That's serious. Friends, when you look at this carefully, you see something. You see, when God says something, it's always true. Never to be changed. Never to be distorted. Never to be changed, twisted. Just exactly as he said it then, as it always will be. Boy. He even adds, and we said before, and as we said before, so say I now again, if any man, I don't care who he is, preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. He already said that, now he repeats it. Serious charge, that is, the curse of God. For then he writes, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servants of Jesus Christ. I read of a silly question. I thought it was silly. Here it is. If you were on a sinking ship, and had a choice of going into the water, holding an anchor, or a life preserver, Which one would you choose? Any person with a sane mind would choose the preserver, the life preserver. Yet, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are people that are choosing the anchors. They're choosing that which has been distorted, changed. And that's serious. So serious. Many so-called gospels are preached, but there's only one true gospel of Jesus Christ. I read of a man who was practicing mysticism and contemplating spirituality. And in the process of doing so, he got the Bible out and started reading it. And as he would read the Bible, his practicing the mysticism and spiritualism began to conflict with what God said. Here's what the man did. He laid aside those evil practices and accepted just the word of the Lord and led him out of that which could have brought about the damnation of his soul. You know why? Because he could read in 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Do you hear me? You do not have God. Whoever wants to be in a position where it could be said of that individual, he does not have God. But if you don't accept just the gospel, the true gospel, without addition or subtraction, you have not God. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. You have no excuse. I have no excuse. We have no excuse. When we have the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, when God has spoken and we fail to listen to what He says. Peter writes in 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability that God giveth him, that in all things God may be glorified. Everything that is spoken from this pulpit must be found in the Word of the Lord. Friends, I was reading where somebody was talking about the criticism of Christians today. Those of us who take a stand are called misguided zealots, fanatics, and even fundamentalists. Like being a fundamentalist is a bad thing. He said, I often wonder if people who use the word fundamentalist for negative connotations even realize the great honor they are bestowing upon the Christians they are labeling. Every single person of God in the Bible and early Christian martyrs and saints, including the apostles, held fundamental beliefs. And somebody else added, the real issues of faith in Christianity today is the perverting of the gospel of Christ and the lukewarmness of too many Christians who are either too apathetic or intimidated to take a stand for the biblical gospel of Christ. He adds, some Christians have chosen to remain polite, open-minded, and stand cordially by while watching as Satan tries to smother the very life out of Orthodox Christianity through slightly perverting the doctrines of Christ. In Matthew 7, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Yes, to change, to add to, subtract, twist, pervert, brings about the condemnation of God. And no wonder when people do this, the Bible says they are to be cursed by God, just as He cursed those who would not do His will in Deuteronomy 27. We've got to be so careful, and I do. Our young preachers, all of us. We've got to really be very careful whenever we preach. Jude said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence unto you, the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend." That you should do what? Earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints. And Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The thing that's so impressive is that Paul says, we or an angel from heaven do any change whatsoever to the true gospel of Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. The seriousness of preaching is seen when Paul said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, you preach the word. 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak as the oracles of God. John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The same shall judge him in the last day. Don't add to it or take away from it. John said in Revelation 22 and 18 and 19. Now when we get to the point of the gospel preaching, what a wonderful thing to read in the book of Galatians that Paul addressed these people about this. He says, but they had heard only. What had they heard? They had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. Here's your example. Paul was doing everything he could to destroy Jesus Christ. He was bringing men and women, committing them to prison. He stood up against Stephen, holding the clothes of those that killed him. Are you listening? Here was a man that was completely opposed to anything that even simulated the gospel of Jesus Christ. But when the gospel through Jesus Christ is made known to Paul, he made a change, and people can and will change to the truth who love it. I was talking to a lady just the other day, and she'd made up her mind about how she's going to be saved. She knew how she was going to be saved. She's saved and she can never be lost. Can you change a person like that with the truth? Not if they don't have the love for the truth, because in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You've got to love it. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Love of the truth is absolutely essential. Do we love the truth? Are we willing to be guided by it? Paul and others change. And he could even write in 1 Timothy 1 in verse 15, this is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He could say, I've made a change. And the reason why I made a change, I learned the truth. And the truth is, the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why, when Peter and the others preached to those people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, in verse 36, the Bible says that he spoke to those Israelites. And when Peter spoke to these Israelites about the fact that they had been crucified, they crucified the Son of God. Can you imagine that? What did they do? They changed. Why? He preached the truth. To whom did he preach the truth? To those who were there. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls. Let's deal with this a few of some of the perversions of the gospel of Christ today. I don't know how many times you talk with people who tell you that they believe that they are saved by faith and faith alone. What is this? What the gospel says? I know the gospel tells us that we're saved by faith. I know that it's absolutely essential to have faith. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is rewarded of them that diligently seek him. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Justified by faith. He didn't say by faith only. You see the insertion the devil wants you to make? You see the insertion that many people believe? What are they doing? Perverting the gospel. They're changing, they're twisting it. Yes, we believe we've got to have faith. Without faith, it is impossible. Cannot please God. And yet, the Bible tells us that we're not saved by faith alone. That's the perversion. So many of your friends and mine believe that they are saved by faith and faith alone. Do you have the courage to stand up to them? Do I have the courage to stand up to somebody I love dearly in my own family and talk to them about the fact that yes, we're saved by faith, but we're not saved by faith alone? James says, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and even as justified, but not by faith alone. I go to funerals. I try to console folks who've lost loved ones. Just last week, as I stood there by the coffin of a man that was 71 years of age, his wife came over to me and she said, "Oh, Mac," call me Mac, said, "I am so happy to tell you that my husband, who was 71 years of age, he received Christ, gave up his whole life to the Lord right before he died, and I'm just so relieved." He wasn't baptized. "I'm so relieved." What do you say to people like that? When you read in the Word of God, though we are an angel, even an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, what does the gospel say? Saved by faith, but not by faith alone. You have relatives, and I have relatives, and we love them. We want them to be saved. But what did God say? If you change, pervert the gospel of Christ. Yes, we're saved by faith, but it isn't faith only that we're saved. We're saved by grace. How wonderful to know that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The salvation that God offers us is because of His great mercy toward us. But He never says, man is saved wholly by the grace of God. And that's what so many denominational people, nothing for man to do, so they're saved, they say. That, my friend, is a perversion of the gospel. That, my friends, is a twisting, changing. Can we not see the evil that people propagate, and preachers particularly, and members of the church who will not stand up and say, "Wait, I love what the Bible says about the grace of God. But the Bible tells me, as a sinner, what I am to do to come under the grace of God." Sometimes people say, "I've been saved by baptism alone." They say they're members of the Church of Christ. To them, there's nothing else you have to do. You don't need to come to the assembly unless you want to. "I've been baptized." Yes, we're saved by baptism. 1 Peter 3:21. "The like for your wearing to you, even baptism doth also now save us." But baptism alone would never save anybody. There's the perversion. And I know there are some people who are members of the church. I've talked to their families. They've lost loved ones. They'll always come back and say, but they were baptized many years ago, though they didn't come to church, though they were not coming to worship the Lord all the time with other saints of God when they could have been there. Friends, what do we say? As long as we get baptized, we're saved and saved forever. No. The Bible tells us that we're saved by baptism, yes, but not by baptism alone. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Then we get the right opposite, where there are people who say, we're saved by works. I've got to be good enough. What is the Bible? What's the gospel of Christ? The gospel of Christ teaches us, yes, we are justified by works, not by faith, but not only by our works. All of these things go together, and when you put them together, we begin to understand the true gospel of Christ. And not one single thing is separated and said, this is what you do, other than the fact that you submit to Jesus Christ and obey Him and do His will. The truth of the gospel is that there are many people today who want to pervert it. There are many who are Christians who fail to recognize what Paul says about keeping company with those that are evil. Don't ever think that will not hurt you or hurt your family. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. The devil is saying, it won't do it to me. Trying to get you to say that. No, I'll never do this or that. Even though I'm running with people who take drugs, or people who drink whiskey, or people who lie and steal, engage in fornication, do you not think that's going to involve you too? That's what the gospel says. But the perverse and the twist of the gospel is men think that they can do these things and cannot be harmed. Watch the words that you speak. In Matthew chapter 12, 36 and 37, by thy words thou shalt be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Ah, words spoken in truth are words that are honorable and acceptable unto God. What kind of words do you speak? You grumble and complain and murmur? Most of us do sometimes. Why? Friend, let me tell you. When we become gossipers and tell-bearers and we speak those things that God has told you in His Word, the gospel of Christ does not honor. Watch the deeds that you do. I believe there's a passage that Paul speaks of in Galatians 6, 7 through 8. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Paul said, though we are an angel from heaven preaching any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. We want the blessings of God upon us. We want to be faithful to the end. We want our lives to conform with the teaching of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you all present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The day that we stand before God in the day of judgment, we will then hear His Word as it's revealed, applied to us. What about you? What about me? Why were the Galatians, as Paul wrote to them, why were these people called foolish? Because in Galatians 3 and verse 1 he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you shall not obey the truth. Why? Galatians 5, verse 7. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? No wonder when Paul writes to these Galatians in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, he talks about the works of the flesh. And then in verse 22 through verse 23, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. In this particular chapter, he is emphasizing the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And he could finally say to these Galatians, Galatians 6 and verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the gospel of Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Though we are an angel, preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. This morning, the gospel of Christ is a glorious gospel because it offers us the forgiveness of sins when we obey Him. Let us never add one thing to what it says. Let us never be guilty of twisting, of turning, of distorting the truth. If it's the truth, we must believe it and we must obey it. There was a lady that I heard of yesterday who had cancer and was dying. She was with other cancer patients and they were receiving treatments for their cancer. And she had a very optimistic attitude. One of them mentioned to her how could she be so cheerful? Well, her answer was, I'm serving the Lord. I want to meet Him. And if I can get cured for cancer, I'll be a winner over cancer. But she said, if I don't, I also will be a winner because I'll be with the Lord. And isn't that a wonderful attitude for us to have? You're not a Christian. The gospel tells you what to do. Believe in Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess His name. And be baptized today. Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're a child of God and you're not ready to meet Jesus Christ, you're not ready to stand with the great I Am, why not do something about your soul today? Repent. Ask God to forgive you. Let us pray with you and for you. Let's just accept just the truth without adding to it, taking away, just obeying it. Won't you do that this morning while together we stand and while we